If you stay at the bottom of Cherem and Bet, the Gemara here is discussing their number of Amoraim, trying to present what the core machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are in the Mishnah. Right there, they're discussing whether when it comes to Motzi Shemra, do you only require Shlosha, do you only require 3 for the Beis Din, or Esrim Shlosha, you require 23. So we've had a number of explanations. Until this point, we've had the explanation of Ula, then we had the explanation of Rabba, and then we had the explanation of Abaye, the Gabizer. So we had now, and Rav Papa, sorry, we also had Rav Papa, and now we're up to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi Amar Kagon, De Atru Be Malkut, Velo Avetru Be Ktala. They gave Hatra, when the Edim came, they gave Hatra to these individuals, this individual, and said, if you do this, you're going to be Chayav Malkot, but they didn't say you're going to be Chayav Mita. Vakamiflige Bepulkta Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanan. This is a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanan. It's not Malkot v'Shlosha. Shum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Be'Esrim v'Shlosha. So machlokes revolves around what type of Beis Din you need for, right? The corporal punishment for Malkot. Is 3 sufficient, or do you need a Beis Din of 23? The underlying presumption here, which Tosos points out over here, and so does Rashi, that kesavar lav shenitan lazaret mitat beidin lo kin alav. You have to have a presumption here that a testimony that could end in the death penalty, I mean alav, any restriction that could end in the death penalty, if you do not warn for the death penalty, then it will end up in malkot. I mean that death penalties are basically malkot plus. It's Malkut plus more. So therefore, if you just miss the death part of it, you still get the Malkut part of it. So the Malkuts are still alive. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about here. Because if this could end up in a death penalty, then if they're talking about Malkuts, it would be irrelevant. So it has to be according to the opinion that thinks that Malkuts are still relevant when there's a death penalty at hand. And therefore, the Machlokus is about, once you have corporal punishment, once you have Malkut, what's the din of the Beis Din? Is a 3 a sufficient, or you need a Beis Din of 23? Ravina Amar, Kigon, Shinimsa Khadmahein, Aidim Karova Pasul. So Ravina now makes another suggestion of what the Machlok is about, is one of the Aidim are found to be a Karov or a Pasul. So we've had this actually in Makot, but we had it quoted in Baba Batra where we discussed this. But Kamifl gave a book to Rabbi Yossi, Virabi, Aliba to Rabbi Akiva. There's a Machlokus we're going to see in a second about what Rabbi Akiva's position is, the Tanan. Now, Rabbi Kiva is referencing the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's position over there is that when it comes to Edim Zomimim, that the Torah says, Alpi Shnayim Edim, Alpi Shlosha Edim. Right? So the Torah says Shnayim and Shlosha. So he says, well, if we know about Shnayim, why do you have to tell me about Shlosha? Of course. And if 2 works, then 3 certainly works. So Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, well, that teaches you by Edim Zomimim, that they are not Zomimim until all of them are made into Edim Zomimim. Because you would have thought, or possibly could have thought, that it's sufficient. 2 Edim are sufficient to make a Edut, to make them into Zomimim, in order to testify against one of the litigants, or to testify against the person who is going to get the death penalty, or is going, whatever the testimony is that they're giving. So if 2 are sufficient, then the 3rd one who joins them, why should it make a difference? When he joins them, should he impact on the cat? Along comes the Torah, today, Yushnaim, Ushlosha. 2 and 3 are the same. What does that mean? That 2 is a unit, and 3 is a unit. They're a whole unit to the extent that until all of them become Edim Zomimim, they're not considered Zomimim. Just like by 2, if 1 becomes an Edim Zomimim, 1's not, that doesn't make them into Edim Zomimim. So too, by Edut of Shlosha, they're all included. So that's the position of Rabbi Yishimon. Then along comes Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Bash Lishi Ela Hachmir Alav. That it wasn't the Hakel. The way Rabbi Shimon is describing the Hakel means because they will not be Edim Zomimim until all of them are made into Edim Zomimim, but rather, Lahachmir Alav. It's coming here in order to be Machmir. What does that mean? Why are they being Machmir? Because, Alav Lasod Dino Kiyotzebeilu, because his din will be the same as theirs. Because what could have been the possibility? The possibility is that the 3rd one, again, would have been Patur Legamre. The 3rd one is not necessary to create the Edut. So when he joins with the other 2 to make the Edut, then even if he was made into an Eid Zomim, maybe he shouldn't get punished. He didn't do anything. The whole idea of Eid Zomimim is that you try to create a punishment for someone else, you're treated to that same punishment. Well, that should only be true of those that make up the core that causes the problem. I mean, the two Edim are enough. Anybody who's in addition to that, even though they're part of the Edim, but without them, the Edut still would have worked. It's not they that make the Edut work. They're unnecessary in terms of the Edut. So maybe you would think they could not be made into Edim Zomimim. So what is it? No, Rabbi Kiva says, no. His din is the same as theirs, and he will be punished, even though he's unnecessary. Here, where someone enjoined or became a part of a crew that were over avera, he's treated to the same treatment as them. I mean, this additional aid who is unnecessary gets the punishment of an aid zomim if they're called into, if they're all made into aid zomim. Achad kam v'kam shalim schar et anitva lo se mitzvah ko se mitzvah. Meaning that if you can enjoin yourself to those that are doing negative, and we classify it as if you are doing the same avera, the same will be true, but achas kam v'kam, because you know mida tova is better than the mida ra'ah. So therefore, certainly when a person brings himself together and joins a group of people doing something good, even though he wasn't necessarily necessary to do the good, he will get the same reward or the same treatment as those that are doing the good. So better to hang out with people doing good things than people doing bad things is the message of Rabbi Kiva. Right? Even though, again, you're not necessary in either case, the mere fact that you spend time with them or you do the same that they do, right, makes you a party to what they are doing. Just like by two Edim, if we find a Karov Pasul amongst them, the Edut falls apart because you have an invalid aid. And with an invalid aid, you don't have a Kat Edim left. You only have two, now you have one left. That's not an Edut. So too, same thing when it comes to three. And if one of them is found to be a Karov Upasul, Edutan Tela, it ruins the Edut. Why? Because what you could have said, as opposed to by two, when one of them is a Karov Pasul, there is no Edut left because you don't have two Edim. But the possibility by three is that you have two Edim that are left. You still have two valid Edim. So drop the one who is, right, a Pasul or a Karov, and then finish up the Edut with those that are okay. So that all comes. That's the Umashnaim. That's the Chumir that it breaks it apart. Uminayin Shafilu Me'a. That's true even 100. You have 100 Edim that come together to testify. And that, if there's one Karov Pasul, the whole thing's gone. Tamalomar, Edim. It doesn't matter. Edim. Any amount of Edim. Edim, Edim, Edim. You're all one cat. If there's a Karov Pasul, it ruins the whole thing. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bameh Devarim Mamurim. When is that true? Bedine Nefashot. That's only true, Bedine Nefashot. Aval Bedine Mamonot, Kitkayim Edut Bishar. The remaining Edim can let the Edut go through. Rabbi Omer, Echad Dine Memonot, Ve'echad Dine Nefashot. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant whether it's Memonot or Nefashot. The Karov Pasul will create a Psul in the whole Kat, and all the Edim will be eliminated. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi, who suggests there's a difference between Edei Nefashot, where we say we look for any Zchut on behalf of the party who's trying to defend himself. So one Zchut we have is if there's a Pasul here, we ruin the whole Kat Edim. So there we say it. By Dinei Mamononot, where there's no requirement to look for the Zchut, because generally with Dinei Mamononot, what's the Zchut for one side is a Chiyuv for the other side. So therefore we just look and we say, okay, we get rid of the Pasul and the Karov, and we'll finish up the Edut with whoever's left. We'll create the Kat from whoever's left. Rebbe says, no, that's not the case. Doesn't matter. Mamononot, Dinei Nefashot, it's all the same. We don't split up the Edut. The Edut is Pasul. Vei Matai. When is that true? Bizman Shehitru Ben. That's in a case where they were matret. They gave hasra together. I was much lo itru man. If they did not give hasra, ma, we're going to run into a problem. Why? Ma yesu shnei achim ve'echad shru ve'echad sharagat ha'nefesh. If hasra is not the requirement for enjoining the edim to make them into a single kat, then we're going to have a problem. That means that anytime you have witnesses to a, say for instance here, witnesses to a killing, you have two brothers and a third party that witness a killing. So what are you going to say? Automatically, all three of them are psulim, leidut, because there was a karov pasul there. So now you can never kill this individual? No. Why? So what you have to do is, that's true if they all were matret. They all warned and they gave hasra, then their intention is to testify. Together, intention is to testify. There we say it's a problem. But if only one of the brothers gave hasra and the other third party, then you have edut. So you can't just automatically enjoin all the parties. It's only if they give hasra, which is an indication that they're going to testify together, does that bring them to bring them together. The machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan is if we find out that one of the three is a karovu pasul, right? But it was a case where he's ra'ah v'shatak. He didn't say anything. So according to right, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yossi. Meir holds like Rabbi Yossi. That's enough, that says what? That's bedin nefashot. Loshna tra, loshna shatak. Doesn't matter. In those cases, a dutan b'teila. So therefore, the only thing that's left there is a dinei memononos. So that's why you go at three, right? Ava the rabbanon sarik rabbi. They all like rabbi. That even when you're shatak, that not even, but when you are shotek, it allows the idul to go through. So if that's the case, you have a difference. You have a dinei nefashos here. So that'll be a shlim b'shlosha. So that's just explained. Rabbi Meir and the chachamim are arguing in this position when an aid is silent. What does that do to the Idut if he's not matre? According to Rabbi Yossi, again, we're dealing in the level of Dinei Nefashot. So according to Rabbi Yossi, in Dinei Nefashot, if you're silent, it doesn't help you. You're still part of the Idut, and it's Pasul. So therefore, all that's left is a Dinei Mamonono, so you take three. According to, and that's Rabbi Meir's position, Rabbi Yossi, and the Chachamim are going to say, wait, it's a Dinei Nefashot. Dinei Nefashot, we hold like Rabbi. Rabbi says if the aid is silent, then he's not part of the kat. He's not part of the kat. You have two kosher edim here. Two kosher edim. We have a dinei nefashot on our hands. You got to bring in 23 because we're dealing with a dinei nefashot. So that's the explanation of the machlokas. The re raises here what Svi basically raised. It's the last tosos on Ted Amud Aleph. It's a very interesting tosos. He says, Venir Leri. He says, it has to be over here that mishum, you have to differentiate. The question is now, how do we know whether they're considered edim or not? What makes a party into an aid? Is it simply his intent to testify is enough? He intends to testify, or he just intends to watch? Which is the question the Gemara is going to ask later on, right? Whether in the Gemara Makot and other places we see that it's about, that's what the Gemara says, the pivotal question. Pivotal question is, did he just watch the event, or is he intending to testify? Now, the Ri says over here, Venir L'Ri, it's the second line down, at the end of the second line in that Tosfos, it says Venir L'Ri, the Mishum Shinit Kavnu L'Hayid, Lo amrinem nimtza chamim karuva basuli ditan tila. Just because they intend to testify is not enough to make them pasulim or to make the whole kat pasul. Ella shochim umeidim kulam bebezdin. It's not enough that they simply intend to testify, but they actually have to show up and testify. Da, because if you don't say this, right? Otherwise, if you don't have this. Lo, they simply intend to testify. That's not enough. If you don't say this, somehow all you have to do, I mean, whatever, people can play tricks even in this way, right? I mean, if a person wants to be dishonest, right, or sly, they can set up and have a karover pasul show up at the ceremony, and then they'll say afterwards, oh, I intended to testify. I mean, even if he doesn't do it. I mean, even if it's not intentional, I'm saying it could happen even without it being intentional. But what are you going to have here? You're going to have to run into problems where anybody who decides that they want to testify, they want to witness what's happening, all of a sudden that they're going to ruin the entire right ceremony. They're going to ruin the Gittin. They're going to ruin the Kiddushin. You don't want that to happen. So it must be, he said, just from a, right, to have not, it not be an absurdity, it has to be that they must go and testify in order to become edim. And then he says, well, Rabbi Yossi, I feel like it's kavein. Right, and Rabbi Yossi, even if he doesn't intend to testify, right, he says, Avo Pamim, because otherwise, what are the cases? Avo Pamim, Shlo Yodah Zeh B'Zeh, the case will be when they don't know about each other. V'yayid Echad, Afo Pi She'yid Achav Kvar B'Beis Din, he'll come, and his brother and he witness the same act, and then they're going to come to Beis Din separately, not knowing that the other one knows it. And that will cause the problem. Because then you have a piece of sheni heyit achar k'day dibur mikomakom etudan b'teila. Even if they testified after k'day dibur, nevertheless they're etudan b'teila because they both showed up in court. So now, even though, and then the re has two chidushim here. The two chidushim they has is one that edut is only established when you come and are meid. You have to actually testify in order to be an aid, and if you don't testify, you're not included in the kat, and you don't ruin the kat. Number one. The second chiddush is that you don't, to be included in the same kat edim, you don't have to testify b'toch de dibur. You don't have to be b'toch de dibur to classify as a single kat when it comes to this karova pasul issue. So yes, wait a minute. We know by edim zomimim that that's not the case. By edim zomimim, right, the only time they're classified as a single group of edim is that they all testify b'toch de dibur. So how come by Eidim Zomameim Tochidei Dibor is the requirement to make them into a single cut? And over here, what are you suggesting? You're suggesting that when it comes to Karova Pasol, doesn't matter. Tochidei Dibor is not a relevant, not relevant in terms of classifying them as a single Eidut. So that one. Number two, he says by Ein Eid Nase Dayan. The fact that an Eid cannot be a Dayan, over there, we also say, right, that you have to read, Dafka be Eid Hameid. What's that? That's a fact that a somebody witnesses an event can't later on become a dayan, can't become a adjudicator in the case. So Reese says, what happens? You have all these people that see an event, then you're saying that somebody who witnessed the event cannot become a dayan afterwards. He says, no, that's not true. It's only if he comes to testify. If he comes as an aide and testifies in the case, that precludes him from being a dayan. But not if he simply witnessed the case, that does not preclude him from being a dayan. That simply wanting to testify or even intending to testify, that's enough. So why? He says, because what's the reasoning between Ein Eid Nasei Dayan? He says, number one, there are two possibilities of why Ein Eid Nasei Dayan. One is because it's Eidut She'en HaYechol Hazima. We have a requirement in general that when it comes to testimony, any testimony that's kosher is if you have a possibility of being made into Zomamim. Why? Because we want a fear factor. We need a factor of fear in the Eidim that they won't come in lie. If they have no, if they know for certain that they will never be able to be found out or made guilty in the sense that they'll have retribution, that they'll get the same punishment they're trying to place on the person they're testifying about, then they have no fear about lying. The only way we're going to allow them to come and testify is they have fear of lying. If the aide becomes the dayan, he comes and testifies, everyone says dayan, who's the one who has to listen to the hazama and accept the hazama? It's the dayan. So you think he's going to accept the hazama in order to implicate himself? No, it doesn't seem very likely. So that's one possibility. And number two, what's the other possibility? I say dayan. It's because it says, Vamdu shnei anashim lifnei, right? And do, what do they stand before? Vamdu shnei anashim lifnei. Lifnei Hashem, right? Lifnei Hashem. So who are they standing before? The dayanim. So that's with the edim that are standing before the dayanim. Over here, you don't have that. You have the edim become the dayanim, so there's no longer edim standing before the dayanim. She says either one of those is a failure, but you see in both those cases, the issue is if they actually testified. So if they testified, that it's become an issue that they can't become a dayan. If they don't testify, then those reasons don't apply. If they didn't testify, then it's still the edim that come are standing before the dayanim. If they didn't testify, then it's still edut shechol azimah, because they're not the edim. Someone else is the edim, so they call it azimah. So the Reis says, in the case of ein eid nasei dayan, in our case over here, of karva pasul, right, the only time it's a problem is if they actually testify. If they don't show up in court to testify, there's nothing to talk about. Even if they intend to testify, that's not enough to make them a karva pasul, to ruin it, or ein eid nasei dayan. Again, he also says that this idea that to become a single kat edim by zomimim, you need them to have to be toch de dibur. But here in our cases, It's fine that if they don't even come and testify together, edutam b'teila, because shnayim eishim shlosha edim, once they've seen the item together, right, then they've enjoined themselves. The only question, when they come and testify in court, that's not an issue. Whereas by hazama, we need them to come as a single unit in order to say that they are the ones who are creating the problem for the litigant. Because simply seeing it is not the problem. By hazama, the issue is edut, testimony. The actual testimony is what causes the problem. By being making them and joining them into a single edut, simply if they see it together, that enjoins them. They have to actually testify to become edim. But once they're edim, if they saw it together, that already enjoins them into a single party. Now, just because, only because we just did Baba Basra, over here, the Re says over here, I just want you to know that it's not like the Rabbeinu Shmuel. This isn't like the Rashbam. I disagree with the Rashbam. The Rashbam everywhere explains it's b'mitzkavim lahayid. He explains that it's enough if they intend to testify, they make the edut psula. He says, but I want you to know that I don't think that the Rashbam is right. So, of course, where is he quoting the Rashbam from? He's quoting the Rashbam from Baba Batra, which is at the end of the Tosus here that comes along the Rashba, right? Not the Rashba that we know, but the Rashba from the Baliyat Tosfot, who says in the end that he thinks that the Re is wrong and all his proofs are wrong. And he says that that the thing that could enjoin them, or the thing that could make it different for the Re, is the fact if we force them to be Matre. It's only if they give Hatra do we say that if the Nitzkavnu the Hayid. that if they are not the ones that give atra, right, then we can say that kavanah is not enough, the ha'id. But once they've given hatra together, then kavanah la'id is enough. Their intent to testify is enough. So we don't need them to actually show up and testify. The mere fact that they warned already is an indication that they intend to testify about the case. So if you have the hatra and the edut coming from the same edim, then we will say over there that hatra is sufficient and mitkavin la'id, intending to be ma'id, is enough. On the other hand, if it's separate, meaning that is given by others, or the one who is going to be a karofas who is not matre, then over there we don't say it until they show up to be me'id. They have to actually physically show up to be me'id in order to enjoin them. So the Rishba takes an approach that says that the Riz proofs, all the proofs that he brings are not so good, and that we could really say that they don't need to testify in order to be psulim. The only requirement is that they are actually matre, that they warn. The fact that they warn is enough to make it serious enough that they're becoming a single katedim, because otherwise why are they bothering to warn him if they don't intend to testify? Right. Next, vibay tema, another possibility we had explained, the machlokes between Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanon, is kagon shehitru ba acherim, v'lo hitru ba edim. That the hatra came from a separate katedim than from the edim that are coming to testify over here. Why should that make a difference? Right? The gamifle book to Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon, Tatan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lola Amenu Neherag, Ache Pishne Dav Matrin Bo. That Rabbi Yossi has a requirement that the Edim that testified must be the Edim that give the Atra. It has to be a single Edut. Because it says, A Pishnaim Edim. Everything has to be done on the plea of the Shnaim Edim. If you have it be that the Atra is done by one set of Edim, and the witness testimonies by another set of Edim, then it's not Al Pishnaim Edim. That's Al Pishnaim Arba Edim. Shnaim and Shnaim, because there's a, you need the other Shnaim. The two, the, each set of two can't do it themselves. So that would be pasul. So that's what Rabbi Meir, what's the case here? The case is where they warned them, they had two edim come and give atra, then if two edim come and testify about the situation. Is that a dinin nefashot over here or not a dinin nefashot? Rabbi Meir says, there's no more need in nefashot. Why hold like Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says, if the edim that are coming to testify about the act that makes you chayav, mita, if they weren't the ones that gave atra, there's no case here. So he says, there's no case. All that's left is the dine memononos. So you have three. According to Chachamim, Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi and say, even if it's two separate parties that are giving atra and edut, that's still good enough for nefashot, and therefore we have a nefashot case here, we have to have 23. Vibe dema, kagon ditchachosh bebedikot loikachosh bechakirot. So there are different types of questions that are asked of the edim. The chakirot are the basic facts that the edim must give, which is, when did it happen, what day, right, what hour, where were you located, all these items, which are necessary, why? Because otherwise it becomes an edut, shi'ata yechol hazima. The only way hazama of edut takes place where the next set of edim comes to imanu ha'itim. You were with us on this time or this day or this place. So if they can't make that, if that fear factor is removed, then they can't testify. So the only way to have that fear factor is we actually force them to give the information that will allow other edim to come along and say, that's not true, because you were with us. So that information is basic and necessary in order for the edut to be kayam. Those are called chakirot. On the other hand, there's something called bdikot. Bdikot are more detailed questions that are not necessary in order to make the case, validate the edim. But we do it in order to really see, let's make sure that they really were, to see, catch them if there's really a problem. So those types of the questions are like, was he wearing a white shirt or a black shirt? And so those types of questions, while they're not necessary to have the edut be kayemet, we use them as a way to probe the edim, to see if they're really telling the truth. So now, over here, what happens? Going to ichosh bebidikot, veloit chosh bechakirot. In chakirot, they're found, their testimony of the two edim are found to be consistent, totally consistent. But they have some inconsistencies when it comes to the bidikot, the unnecessary, the extra questions. But kavimfle gebe plukta de ben zakai ve rabbanan. That's a machlokas is about Ben Zakkai and Rabbanan. That's not. Maseh ubadak Ben Zakkai beuksei teinim. Ben Zakkai went along and he asked them questions about uksei teinim. There was some sort of killing under a date tree, a fig tree. It's under a fig tree, and he asked them, "How did the figs that are the okets, right, which is the piece at the bottom of the fig, that's not there's a part that's attached to the tree, and then the okets." Right, which is depending on the fruit, right? The okets can be found on the bottom of the fruit or the top of the fruit. But what was the stem that was on it, or the piece at the bottom that dries out? Was it a thick one or a thin one? So they got caught. Of course, I don't know. He said it was a thin one. He said a thick one, right? So that's, so obviously information is not related to the case, but he's just trying to see if they were both in the same place. But it's a level of detail that is, you know, hard to say that just because they didn't notice that, that they're not really deemed. So they come on. Some Rav Yosef. So in that case, the question is, do we hold like Ben Zakkai? Is that enough to invalidate the Edim or not invalidate the Edim? So that's our case here. Our case here is where they did Bedikot and Chakirot. And the Bedikot turned up to be very problematic. So if they turned out to be problematic, then what we have a question now, which is this a Dinei Nefashot? They're not a Dinei Nefashot anymore. If they turn out that they're a question about the Bedikot, Ben Zakkai says, okay, it's over. Case over. Right? Dinei Nefashot. All we're left is a Dinei Mamonot. Right? The Chachamim, that's not enough to invalidate the case. Right, next, Amar Rav Yosef. This is a new, now we're on to new sugya. So we had all these answers about what the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is. Series of answers, right? We had about, I should have counted, probably about eight different suggestions about what the machlokas is. And now we move on to the next statement of Amar Rav Yosef. Hevi habal edim shezinta. The Baal, so this is a case that's related to Moshe Shemra, and that this is the case here. He brings, the Baal brings edim that she had an extramarital affair. I mean, after Yerushin, before Nisuin, she had an extramarital affair. And then, vevi av, but the father brings edim, vezimum leidei Baal. He brings edim that, what, that make the edim of the Baal pasul, because they make them into edim, zomimim. So now what happens here? Edei Baal neharagim. The Edim about the Edim that the Baal brought to tell Tzevei about his wife or his ex-wife now that she was zinta, right? Then they get killed. Why? Because they were trying to kill her. So as we do, Kasitim Kasher Zamam Nasot. They wanted to kill her. They get killed now. Vein Mishalmi Mamon, and they don't pay any money over here. Why don't they pay money over here? Because right. Kimle the Rabbi Minay. Anybody who's mitchayv in nefesh doesn't pay tashlumim over here. So over here, since they're going to be put to death, they're not going to be chayav mamon.
In this case, there really are two parties that are chayav mamon. First of all, the edim are chayav because they're actually causing the woman to lose her ktubah. In that case, or in that situation, that's where we say kimli derabi minei, and the edim are pturim from paying the money because they have to compensate the woman. And that's the same woman that they're actually causing or putting to death. So now they're receiving the death penalty because of this woman who they tried to kill, plus have her lose her ktubah. So in that case, they will be killed for the attempt at her life, but they will not have to pay the mamon. They won't have to compensate her for causing her to possibly have lost her ktubah. On the other hand, the baal, the husband here, is chayav for motzi shemra. This is the case of motzi shemra. What does that mean? He brings edim. When he brings edim to state or to suggest that she had an extramarital affair, and then when we find out that these edim are not good edim, and his claim is inappropriate, over there he has a knas, the knas of motzi shemra, that the baal will have to pay in this case, because it's the baal's responsibility to pay for it, not the edim's responsibility, and the baal's not being put to death. So in this case, we will have an instance where the edim will be put to death, have to make no compensation, and the baal will have to pay the fine or the knas that is associated with motzi shemra.
And motzi shemra, if he simply comes along and says, listen, she was a zinta tachtai, right? Lo matza betulim lebitcha, that's not enough to make him chayav to pay.
When they disprove him.
Right, when they disprove him, that's not enough. It's only the only type of disproval that makes him chayav is what? If the edim come along and then he's zimum. So who's making the Baal Chayav? The Edim that came. The one that were Nizmu. The ones that became Edim Zomimim, right, are the ones who made him Chayav to pay. So the fact is that the Edut of the Edim is what generates the Chiyuv al Baal. So therefore,
the Rashi mentions it over here. Tosfos deals with another issue about how come they can't say, we just came to testify, to passel her on her Baal. Find out by other cases. The Edim can come along. If they don't give a trah, the Edim can basically say, we came and we didn't really want to put her to death. We just wanted to make sure that she didn't live with her husband anymore. So now the Zomimim come along and say, Imanu Aitim. So they say, oh, no, don't put us to death. We weren't trying to kill her. We were just trying to make sure that she had left her husband.
So here, Tosus says, we don't say that over here. How come we don't say that over here? So the Tosus over here says that you can't separate between the two Eduyot here. That in our case, the fact that you testify to separate her from the Baal is also what's going to put her to death. The two can't be separated, one from the other. The only time we say that you can make an alternative claim about what you're going to testify about is if the two components could be separated one from the other.
that one without the other could stand without the other. In our case, that's not true. In our case, you can't have zeh b'chazeh. You can't have it that you came to testify to separate them, but you weren't testifying about to kill her. The two are enjoined. They're one in the same in their testimony. Therefore, they can't come along and say, we just want to separate her from the Baal. Once you do that, you're also putting her to death. That's just a separate issue. Now, on the other hand, what happens now? Chazar, maybe a Baal Edim. The Baal now brings a third set of Edim. Ve'zimum le'de'av. And they make the Edim of the Av into Edim Zomimim. So now what happens? That revalidates the first set of Edim that the Baal brought, because they were only Zomimim because they had Edim Zomimim. Now the next set makes you have set A, B, and C. A was brought by the Baal to testify the woman had an extramarital affair. B comes along and testifies that A are not good Edim because they're Edim Zomimim. C comes along and says B is no good because they're Edim Zomimim. So they exerts a katuf that the last set of Edim are believed. So C is believed legabe B. So C is legabe B. B is out of the picture now, and A is now become valid Edim again. They're good Edim because they were not. There's nobody there to be mezim them. Now, what happens in that case? So in that case, Edei Av Neragin, set B gets killed, because they were trying to kill the Edim. A, set A, they were going to kill set A, so they get Kasher Zamam, they get killed. But, Umishamim Mamon. Mamon Lezeh, Unifashot Lezeh. Over here, they do have to pay money. Why? Because here, their testimony affected two different people. Their testimony affected the Edim, were going to have to be put to death. And who was going to be Chayav the Mamon? The Baal. The husband was going to be chayav the money. So they were going to then cause two independent parties to be chayav. Because set A, if they're put to death, we say kimelei d'Rabbi Meir, because the same set of Edim are put to death are the ones that generate the chiyuv mamon. But over here, when the Edim Zomimim come along, that's not true. When they come along with Mizamein, they were creating two gufim. They were affecting two different parties. They're affecting the Edim who are chayav mita, and then they're affecting the Baal, who's actually going to have to pay money. So in that case, since we can separate between who the affected parties are, then they will be chayav on both of them. They'll be chayav on the death penalty towards those Edim, and they'll be chayav on the mamon that they were trying to be mitchayev towards the Baal. The Rashi explains by Rav Yosef, the Kasav Rav Yosef, ki potar achmana mitchayev b'nafsho min atashlumim. When is someone who gets the death penalty patur from tashlumim? If a demito mamon mishum chad ka'atule, that's only if they come from a single entity. But that's not true here. There's no single entity. There's the edim that caused the death penalty, and the money is mitchayev because of the baal. So if they come from two separate entities, they're going to be chayav in both of those instances. So now, Vamar Rav Yosef, you have another statement by Rav Yosef. Ploni Rav Od Onso. So he says that, so he was sodomized, right, against his, which is by definition, he was sodomized, it was against his will. Since it was against his will, he's quote-unquote an innocent party to the situation. So now he's going to come along and testify against the perpetrator of the crime. There was another witness, plus himself, that want to come and testify. So they are, hu v'acher mitztarfim l'argo. In that case, they can get together to testify against the sodomizer, because they're both, quote-unquote, not parties to the situation, because he was, right, sodomized, which was against his will. Lirtzono, on the other hand, if he was a willing participant here, right, in the homosexual act, then he's a rashahu. A rashah cannot be an aid. So since he was a willing participant or a willing party over here, he can no longer be one of the edim that testifies against the, right, over here, what we call, it, again, the perpetrator, the active perpetrator of the crime. So now, Rav Amar, Rav says, no. All right, this is going to lead us into tomorrow's daf. We'll mention it here, but we'll deal more deeply with it tomorrow. Is Rav Amar, Adam Karov Etzel Atzmo. A person is considered a Karov when it comes to himself. A person is Nogeaba Davar, is a Karov by himself, and therefore he can't testify about himself. So what does that mean? Vein Adam, Misim Atzmo Rasha. So since you're a Karov to yourself, you can't testify about yourself to make yourself into a Rasha. So even though the person comes along and says, I was a willing participant in a homosexual act, but then, what do we say? He can be mitzarek with another aid to kill one of the other party in this homosexual act. Why? Because we paginan dibura. We split what he's saying, we split it in half. We split in half what he says. We believe him with regards to the testimony that party A was involved in a homosexual act, and there we believe him. When he says that I was also involved in the act, we don't believe him in that case. So we pagin and debris split his testimony and say, with regards to the testimony about the other party, he's believed. But the testimony regarding himself, he is not believed.
and therefore we can put him to death. So as opposed to Rabbi Yosef, who says he becomes a Rasha. He makes himself into a Rasha. If he makes himself into a Rasha, he can't testify. Rabbi says you can't do that. Even though he's trying to make himself into a Rasha, he's not successful, he's unsuccessful at making himself into a Rasha, because in Adam Lesim Atzmo Rasha, can't testify himself to make himself into a Rasha. That's the case, he can still be an aid. If he's an aid, then you can put to death, or you can, right, to bring to trial the other party in the act, because it's him and another aid that are coming to testify. Now, when we say that Rava, it sounds from Rava, that to be a Rasha, right, you need Hamas. Rabbi says this in other places, that in order to be a aid Hamas, Hamas means what? Hamas means theft, stealing. Why? What are we worried about? We're worried about this person doesn't have concern for other people's possessions, other people's property, and therefore we're going to worry about him lying in court, because he's Hamas. So we don't allow him into Hamas. Nevertheless, in these types of cases, we also considered you a Hamas. Why? Because it's the equivalent of Ochel Nevelot Teavon. It's someone who's over Averot, the Teavon, for his own benefit, for he's unable to control himself. He doesn't do the Hachis, but he does the Teavon. When you do it to Teavon, then we are worried about this. Why? Because if you're over in Isur Doraisa for your own pleasure, then we're also worried about the fact that you're going to take money and testify falsely. This is a person who submits to his desires. So when he submits to his desires, we're worried about him submitting to any other test, which is a test of somebody, you know, paying him money to do something. He's not a person that can stand up to these tests. So therefore we say they consider him as a pasul aid. So even though the definition according to Rava of an aid Hamas is someone who steals, that category is broader than simply stealing. It's anybody that we worry about who cannot stand up to his desires, or that is willing to take other people's property, and we're concerned that when it comes to testimony that he's going to face the same problems or the same issues. Even though in general we say that a chashud al arayot is kasher le'edut, someone who's chashud al arayot is kasher le'edut. So why over here do we say he's not kasher le'edut to testify about himself? To testify here, and the answer is because it turns what the problem is. That's a problem where we have someone who is chashud al arayot, is that he's miyachid, or he's mityachid im the arayot. That's when he has yichud at the arayot. We don't have any witnesses that he did anything. We just know that he's miyachid with the arayot. Over there we say that he's okay, because there it says yitzro tokfo. Yitzro tokfo says miyachid im the arayot. But over here, when he actually acts on it, that's already taking it beyond the point of simply, all right, you throw tofo, that's already takes it to action. We say that's enough where he's giving in to his desires. He's giving in to his desires. Then we worried about him also, right, taking money, being bribed, or testifying falsely, because this person has no boundaries, has no ability to stop himself in certain circumstances or situations. All right, we'll stop over here.